We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
It's good to be back with you once again, and I always take every opportunity I have to preach and really share God's Word. I'm rapidly getting ready to try and pick up some preaching here and there and around different places as I get moved into our new home. And as your pastor said, we talked and he's given me an opportunity to share with you tonight. And I'm going to share with you over this Wednesday and the coming Wednesday, four stages of Christian growth. And I want to say this before we open in prayer. You will find yourself, please do me a favor. If you get mad, don't get mad at me, okay? I'm only going to give you the Bible. The key to this whole study is to push us to the next level and to try and get us to a point to where we should be in our walk with God. So take your Bible tonight. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Your pastor told me that the verses weren't put onto the screen, so you're going to get my notes. I'll give you the references. And then you'll write them down, you'll have them, you can look them up later. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The church at Corinth would be a church that no one would want to pastor. It was a church for a very young preacher who only wanted to stay about 9 months and then move on. It was a very difficult ministry. It was just riddled with problems. Paul would write to the church twice concerning many of its issues. And it is in this context that we find the first stage of Christian growth, which is really the baby stage. And we'll come back to this in just a moment. So follow along in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I'll read, you follow along. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For where is there among you envying and strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Heavenly Father, I pray that we'll open our hearts to the teaching of your word. And Holy Spirit, you'll speak to us in the realm to which we need to hear, when it comes to where we find ourselves in our walk with you. And if you'll not meet with us tonight, this will all be in vain. If we'll not change, then we'll be, like James said of old, hearers and not doers. Provoke us, Holy Spirit, to change. Bless now the preaching of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you and I were born into God's family, we were born into a family that has a goal set for it, and that is to grow. Christianity really is all about going and growing. Will Rogers Sr. said it this way. He said, you can be on the right track, but if you stand still, you're still going to get run over. And so you and I have to grow as Christians. It's part of Christianity. Jesus would expect us to grow. Now, there are four stages in Christian growth. I was sharing with your pastor. Some would say there's five. I go with four. Some start with that at the moment of salvation. But I pick it up at the baby stage. And so here the four are. You have this baby Christian stage. You have a little child stage, a young man stage, and the father stage. Now, please understand the reference here to the teaching of Paul is that to us as humans, in some plain words, the relationship that he shares with us is somewhat the relationship and our behavior patterns as they exist as we're growing naturally in this world. And so we all start out at the baby stage. Now, I want to say this before I start. You cannot say that because I've been saved for 10, 15, 20 years, I'm a mature Christian. There's no truth to that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, there are Christians that have been saved since they've been knee-high to a grasshopper that haven't grown at all. And they're not any more mature today than they were the day they were saved. Now, you'll find yourself in the process here somewhere in the next 2 weeks. You also may find that you're in between one and perhaps headed towards the other, or you might be pretty well into another stage and still find some traits of the old stage. That's entirely possible. But the key is to move to the next stage. Now, let me also remind you of this tonight. It is possible for every one of us in this room to reach the Father's stage. It's entirely possible. But that depends a lot on how we view our walk with God and where we want to go in our relationship with the Lord. Many Christians reach what I call a comfort zone. They get into this comfort zone and they're unwilling to move out of it. And if you're ever going to be used of God, you have to be stretched. And you have to move into areas that are uncomfortable so that God can grow you. You can't grow when you're comfortable. And so often God brings into our lives difficulties, tragedies, the unexpected, to push us to the next level. And so you and I have to understand, just as a parent pushes us to the next level, so does God. So let's start tonight with the baby stage. Your pastor said something to me tonight upstairs in the prayer place upstairs I'd never thought about. He said, why is it that when you look at the baby stage, it's always so negative? It's really painted in a negative light. And it should be a positive and a happy time. But I think what Paul found at the church at Corinth is that the behavior of the believers was such that it required this harsh accusation to them to provoke them to think and to realize that they were no more than babies instead of followers of Christ as they should be. So if you have your outline tonight, we look at the baby stage. Number one, I want you to put in there, they do not understand or take in spiritual teaching. They have a real problem with spiritual teaching. As a matter of fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Paul said, listen, I couldn't talk to you about spiritual things, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He's saying, listen, it was impossible for me to try and teach you those things that were spiritual. You know, one writer said it this way, babies Christians have to be talked to like babies. That's an interesting thought. He expresses the fact here that they're carnal, even as babes in Christ. He said, and I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. He's saying, listen, I had to feed you milk. I tried to feed you milk. Now, you stop and think about this. My son, my youngest son, Troy, they have a brand new baby. And they tried to feed him milk. You know what happens with milk, don't you? It has a real short lifespan in the stomach. Sometimes it comes up. Sometimes it's difficult to keep down. And you search to find out, are they allergic to milk and what's going on. But you surely don't go out and buy a steak. You don't bring them home from the hospital and say, hey, baby, man, I got the best steak in the world for you. No, you start out with milk, but they couldn't even take in milk. And the sad thing is there are some Christians that find themselves here. You can't share with them spiritual things. Number two, they're governed by human reasoning and feeling. In the baby stage, the baby Christian tries to feel their way through things. Human reasoning is at the forefront of their thinking. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 1, he goes on to say, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Now, what does that word carnal mean? Here's where you get the glimpse of what Paul is talking about in the accusation he's making to the church when he says they're carnal. That word in the Greek comes to us with the idea of being fleshly. It's their flesh that appeases them. It's the feel-good feeling. Can I tell you that two-thirds of the Bible is negative? Can I tell you often when God talks to us, it's not pleasant? And sometimes we as believers, we're driven by our feelings. We are not to be driven by our feelings. We are to be driven by our understanding and by our faith. And so he says, listen, he says, you're carnal, you're fleshly. It's this thinking. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. I don't feel like, you know, doing anything for the Lord right now. I don't feel it. I had a guy one time in our church. I'll tell you his name later. This guy came to me and said, Pastor, I think I'm called to preach. I said, man, brother, I said, that's great. Great. So I normally let him sit a couple of weeks and then I'll go back and talk to him. And so I cornered him after church on a Sunday night about 2-3 weeks later. And I said, hey, brother, I said, man, are you called to preach? He said, no, I'm not feeling it anymore. I said, you're probably right. It's not what you feel. You can look at somebody and feel something about them. It doesn't make you right. You don't know. But the baby operates by their feelings. And their feelings are easily hurt. And it governs them and their human reasoning. They try to equate the things of the world with the things of Christianity. I remember in our military ministry, I think you might have been in that meeting, when I had a deacon one time say to me, Pastor, we ought to run this church like the military. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? He said, yeah, you get them to do anything you want. I could imagine walking in, change, hop! Eyes right! The man smaller in front of you, tap him on the shoulder, take one step forward. We're going to take the offering today. Turn your pockets inside out. I mean, we don't operate that way. That's why pastors become beggars and beg people to give. And where'd that come from? Who knows? Number three, I know why. We were talking about grace giving upstairs. Number three, they're envious of others. Oh, they're so envious. I want what you have. I want it. And I don't know why you have that. And they're the kind of person that when God blesses someone else, they say, well, I don't know why he's blessing them. They're just envious. You know why a lot of us are in trouble tonight financially? Because we're envious of what other people have. We want what doesn't belong to us. And really they're envious. And verse number three says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying. Listen, don't covet what somebody else has. You might not want their debt that goes along with it. You might not want the sleepless nights that go along with it. You might not want all the trouble with the bank. Stop envying what other people have. And I've noticed with kids, if you watch me, if one kid comes to church with something, a couple weeks later, they all have it. It seems that that's the way it goes. Number four, they're contentious. They're contentious. Baby Christians are contentious. In verse number three, it says, where there is among you envy and strife. Now they cause problems because they're they're caught in the reasoning process of the world, and they don't understand that a church does not operate, or Christianity does not operate under those principles. It operates under spiritual principles, and when they don't get their way, they cause problems. And I've watched a lot of Christians over the years, because of their immaturity, cause problems in churches. And they cause strife. Number five, it gets worse. They cause divisions. You ever watch kids when they're growing up? They always have their team and your team. Always, it doesn't matter what you do. You pick teams to play tag football or something. I want him, and him. And you get him, and him. And they try to divide off. It's all about recognizing me. It's all about who I am. And I'm gonna really do my best, whatever I can do, to cause division. Can I tell you, the church tonight of Jesus Christ throughout the world is suffering because too many Christians are causing division. They're not working together because it's all about them. It's all about the way they think things should be. And Paul writes in verse 3, he says, there is among you envy and strifes and division. He said, and I'm not saying you guys are, and please don't take me wrong. You know, right away is when you preach something like this, people say, well, who's he talking about? I call that shovel Christianity. Oh, I knew that's where you, buddy. Had nothing to do with it. All I'm trying to get you to see is if you are guilty of these things, if you ponder these things, perhaps you're not as far along in Christianity as you ought to be. And then in verse number 3, perhaps the tragedy to this, in number 6, they have no spiritual testimony. They're a legend in their own mind. They think they do, but they don't. Many years ago, on a Sunday night, we were given testimonies over in England. And a fellow stood up, and he just started crying. He said, I want to say something, Pastor. His name was Jim Hagen. Jim was one of my first Sunday school superintendents. He was the first treasurer, really, my first treasurer. And he said, I had a new fellow walk into work. And I introduced him to the shop. And the man stood up and he said, I just want everybody to know right now that I'm a born-again Christian. Jim said that he spoke up and said, yeah, so am I. And everybody laughed at him. He said, that hurt him so bad. You see, it's really not what you, I, or the pastor, or people at church think about you. It's what the people in the world think about you. Do you have a testimony? How about when you're going down the road? I'm telling you what, if I could get lost, I'd probably lose mine. So would you. I see you come flying into church, flying out. It's a rough thing. But really, in the baby stage, there's no testimony. There's really this question about, really, are you a Christian? Well, how do you get out of this stage? Here's the key to growth. This is the key. Number one, a hunger for God and His Word. And by the way, you might want to make this note. This is the only thing that a baby Christian carries with them through every stage of Christian walk, is a hunger for God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, write that down. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Now here's the acid test. Here's the acid test. Do you read your Bible? And by the way, when you read it, how much of it do you read? How do you view the Word of God? That's where growth occurs. It amazes me. We have all these modern gadgets. You can turn your computer on in the morning. It'll even read the devotion to you. It'll play music too if you like it. And somebody will sing a song to you. But you know, that's not going to really help you that much. What you have to do is, you have to have this desire. No one can give that to you. No one. You have to acquire that desire to grow in God's Word. I'm not surprised what I see in Christianity because I see a lack of Bible understanding. You know, when God saved us, He just didn't leave us empty-handed. He said, hey, here's my Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. The Word of God is settled forever in heaven, the Bible says. Heaven and earth will pass away. My Word will not. And if there's ever a generation that's going to be guilty before God for not knowing their Bible, it's going to be us. We have no excuse not to read this, to heed it, to pray over it, and to just contemplate what God has for us. This is the most wonderful thing that God has left us apart from our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And what you have to decide in your life is this right here is what I live by. Carnal baby Christians haven't got that down yet. They don't understand. You have to read your Bible. Nobody can make you read it. You got to desire this thing. You know, in the Old Testament, the writer of the Old Testament, I believe it was Jeremiah, said, I eat the word, I take the word in. I desire to have it. And nobody can give that to you. And by the way, you can quote all the Bible verses in the world, but that doesn't make you spiritual. That just probably may suggest you have a good memory. You ever try living what you know? It's hard. I used to have a guy tell me all the time, you Christians. I said, yeah, why don't you try living it? Why don't you try getting up every day and reading it and get up every day and believing it? You got to grow. Write this down, Hebrews 5:13. In Hebrews 5:13 it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. He's a babe. You want to get out of that stage as quick as possible. Here's the second one tonight, the child stage. The child stage now is starting to see some things change. It's not where you want to be, but it's a passing stage that you want to get through. Number one, you want to put in there, they are easily influenced. You get to this stage in Christianity, and the latest thing that comes out in Christianity grabs them. Whatever is said, they buy into, they believe. Did you know that not all music is Christian music? Did you know that not all books are Christian books, even so they say they are? Listen, I could give you some books and you could start reading them and you would think they were Christian until you look at the author. Here's where we find it, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul writing to the church, he says this, he says, that ye henceforth be no more children. This is the child stage. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And the young child, they're just influenced by everything that comes along. All you got to do is watch the young kids today. You can see whatever fad's coming along. You can see what the latest thing is. They all get on the bandwagon with it. So do our churches. Some guy comes up with something that works in his church. Let me help you with something. Because it works in one church, don't mean it'll work in your church. You're an individual organism in the eyes of God. And don't get drawn in by what other people are doing. I'm glad every church is a unique church. Every church has its own makeup, its own method of doing things. And that's what makes us all unique in Christ. But you shouldn't be influenced by the latest book, the latest thing that comes out. Number two, their word is not always reliable. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, John writing to the little children, he said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He's saying, listen, just don't say it. There's not a lot of worth to that if you're not going to back up what you say. You know, sometimes we hear people say, I'll pray for you. But do you pray for him? I mean, really? The pastor I sat under, Travis Harris, used to say this. He said, you know, Tom, I learned something years ago. If I tell somebody I'm going to pray for them, I pray right there and then. He said, because I'll probably forget. And so they struggle with truth. They struggle with their actions, their words backing up their actions. Number four, they lack spiritual wisdom and understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 20, Paul writing to the church, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice ye are children, but in understanding be men. He's saying, how is it that you think like adults, but yet you understand and act like a child, and you don't have a lot of wisdom and understanding? And I like the word he says here, howbeit in malice. The word malice here is naughtiness and wickedness. I'm going to get even with you. You hurt me, I hurt you. You take from me, I take from you. That's that thinking that is so contrary to the Word of God. That's what ruins a lot of relationships. The relationship is often ruined because there's this tit for tat that goes on. And there's no real wisdom or spiritual understanding. You know, James writes and he says, listen, if any one of you lack wisdom, ask God, He'll give it to you. But what you do is you learn that we don't act and think like the world. I watched a lot of Christians get hurt over the years by immature Christians. Say things and do things. Because they lack this spiritual wisdom. And you want to push through this stage. One thing that you learn to understand in life, we're all going to be hurt. And often the people the closest to you hurt you the worst. The people you help the most, they have a tendency to hurt you. People only want to use you for what they want. But you learn that principle in Romans. It says, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And he goes on to talk about heaping coals of fire. Let God do that. You don't have to retaliate. Here's the strategy to growth. Make an effort to grow. Make an effort to grow. You got to somehow wake up one day and say, I'm tired of where I'm at. I'm tired of the fact that I want to grow and I don't read my Bible. I'm tired of the fact that I know all about prayer but don't even pray myself. I'm tired of coming to church and hearing every message on how to live and not living for God. Your pastor said something to me upstairs. He said, I don't know if they remember from week to week. I said, listen, they don't remember from a.m. to p.m. sometimes. And to be honest with you, sometimes I don't. After I preach, somebody asked me a question about the morning service. I've got to go back and look. Listen, what's keeping you from growing? Why is it you're nowhere in your life with God? You're saved for years, but there's nothing. What is it going to take? What does God have to do? I know when you raise a child, what you do to provoke them to grow is you start taking things from them. You start making them earn things. By the way, don't give your kid everything. Teach them a value of things. My two boys. Every time I go buy a money machine, they used to say, hey, Dad, there's one of those machines. Stick that card in, let's get money. Do your boys do that to you, Todd?
No.
That's probably because he hides it from them. But you know, you put value to life. Why do you want to stand before God? Tell me. Having never grown. Still childish. What are you going to say for your life? You know, I've experienced death over the years, but in this last year, early in the spring, Marge's stepmother, her mother died. Her brother died unexpectedly here a little while back. Her dad died just the other week. Man, you start to ask yourself. The Bible says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You have so little time. So little time. You got to grow. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:9. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here's the secret. Do the possible and let God do the impossible. God can make you what you ought to be if you'll do what you know to do. But you have to do the possible. You have to get up and open that Bible and say, Lord, I want to learn something. Lord, give me wisdom. Look, I can read the Old Testament. I know what chapters to skip. It's the one with all the names in them. Man, they drive me crazy. I'm not going to kid you, man. And I get to my Bible. I always read my Bible and I see, what's coming. Oh, no. Listen, I'm not going to stand up and tell you I know Greek and Hebrew. I don't. And there is few that fully understand it. Even among scholars, there is such debate as to the gravity of what a word means. And so Strong's and others sat down and they came with a general agreement. But some of these guys got names. I don't know what their parents were thinking. I'm sure they were mad at their parents. But you motor through it. You motor through it. And you know, Pastor Harris, the pastor I sat under, he preached a sermon one time on all these names. And he's reading and I'm thinking, where is this going to go? Oh boy. And when he was done, the lineage and where it took all the way to Christ, it was phenomenal. You have to ask God to help you. You see, if I were a betting man tonight, I would bet you statistically, sitting in this room tonight, that well over 70-80% of you are not reading your Bible the way you should. And you're wanting to grow, but you're not feeding on the manna from heaven. It's not easy. Many of you are frustrated with your prayer life because you haven't sat down and decided to read the Bible on how to pray. And so you're frustrated because you think that if where one or two are gathered, God's got to answer that. Or if we ask anything according to His will, but we don't know His will. We don't take our time to learn it. I've often said this, you could cut your prayer life down by 50% if you soon discovered the will of God on many subjects. Here's number two. Realize you've been empowered to grow. You've been empowered to grow. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And here's how it works. It's just as simple. You want to climb out of the childish stage, surrender yourself to God. Say, God, I no longer am going to live for myself. I'm going to live for You. And I know, God, that when I do, You'll empower me to do what's right. Can I tell you, if the Holy Spirit showed up in most churches, people wouldn't even know what it was. They wouldn't know. They have no idea. They don't know much about the Holy Spirit. Here's how it works. Charismatics are over here. Christians, Baptists are over here. And here's the Holy Spirit in the middle of it. If the charismatics don't slow down, they'll run past heaven. If the Baptists don't speed up, they're going to be here for a long time. They just don't get it. Listen, God has given you a spirit. It's not a feel-good spirit always. It's one that convicts. It's one when you tell a lie, it says, you just lied. How many know what I'm talking about? Put your hand up. How many are afraid to put their hand up? Yeah. How about when you cheat someone? Huh? You know you cheated them. And the Holy Spirit, you know the thing that God gets me? He don't let you alone. Now your parents say, I told you not to do that again. And they might scold you and they might give you the Board of Education across the seat of knowledge and then it's over. But what happens with God is He just keeps going. And you're out somewhere and you're enjoying your day and God said, have you given any more thought to what I've been talking to you about? You see, listen to me now. Listen to me. When you start listening and obeying that, you're getting ready to move. When you desire that more than anything else, I've always said this. When it comes down to God, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you get a one-on-one with God. You can't blame your upbringing. You can't blame your spouse. You can't blame your children. You give an account for yourself. And so I'd rather listen to the Holy Spirit than other people. I'd rather put myself around people that are spiritual than people who are non-spiritual. I want to talk about the things of God. I want to be around people who want to grow and go. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2 says this. Think about this. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Some are going to be ashamed. Man, they are going to be ashamed. They're going to be so caught out. I don't know about you folks. We don't have too much longer here on this planet. And I got the feeling at any moment, God's going to lean over to Jesus and He's going to say, go get him and bring him home. Where are you going to be in your walk? What will you be doing? Will you be ashamed? You don't have to be. You can grow. Now, I know I went through this kind of quick tonight. If I were to do this in a prolonged setting, I'd do one, each one, and each one would take a night to do. But I want to leave this with you tonight. Would you please grow? Don't do it for your pastor. Don't do it for your church. Do it because the Bible tells you to do it. If you're acting childish tonight, why? If you're throwing tantrums and you're gossiping, why? Why are you picking the faults out in other people? Did you know the only reason you can judge other people is because you lower the standard of judgment to yourself? You can't judge other people if you make God the standard. Why is it you don't get on your knees and pray? Why isn't you don't cry out? Are you concerned for the world? Are you concerned about that day when you're going to stand before God? I want to say this and I'll close out. When I was in the Air Force, my office was outside the commander's office. And we used to have what was called Black Friday. Black Friday occurred once a month. The date was determined by the commander. And if you were called in on that day, one of several things were going to happen to you. Number one, you were going to get a severe reprimand. Number two, you were going to get an Article 15 and threatened to be kicked out of the Air Force. And number three, you were kicked out. And outside of my office, there was a waiting room. And my desk was turned like this. The commander's door was here. And I remember watching these guys. Their uniform was spotless. Their hair was cut. Their shoes were shined. And I'd bring them into the commander's office. And he'd stand them at attention. And I've seen grown men cry. Grown men lose their job. Man, it used to hurt so bad. I felt so sorry. But that's nothing. That's nothing when we stand before God. And He reveals to us what we could have been and should have been. Grow.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.